From KCBW News in Salt Lake City, I'm Jeff Robinson. With Utah experiencing the fourth highest foreclosure rate in the nation, according to the latest report from RealtyTrack, a state lawmaker from Salt Lake City is looking for solutions. Earlier this year, Democratic Senator Ben McAdams opened a bill to implement a foreclosure mediation program in Utah. I asked him why he thinks foreclosures are becoming a frequent occurrence in the Beehive State.
You know, part of that is a function of the fact that our housing bubble didn't take off until after the rest of the country. So there's a little bit of a lag there that we lagged in the ramp up and we're lagging now in the housing crisis. But it is really something to be concerned about. We are ranked number 4 in the country behind Arizona, Nevada, and California. And those are all places that have a very significant problem with foreclosures, and we are right on their heels.
There are two types of foreclosure processes, as I understand, judicial and non-judicial. What system do we have in place in Utah, and how do you think this impacts the number of foreclosures?
You know, we have a non-judicial foreclosure process, which means that you don't need to go to the courts in order to seek recess, in order to seek redress of a non-payment of a foreclosure, except under certain extraordinary circumstances where you might go to the court. That non-judicial foreclosure process is meant to expedite and have foreclosures happen more quickly without the intervening of a court and lawyers and all of that to slow it down. A lot of times I think that works. I think in this case we've got some problems here where the lender and the person servicing the loan, a lot of times the borrower doesn't know who has given them their loan. You mm-hmm. took out a loan, you know, 5 years ago with a certain entity, and that mortgage has been sliced and diced and sold and resold, and your mortgage might actually exist in 7 different pieces located from Germany to Switzerland to New York.
Yeah.
And in a non-judicial foreclosure process, that makes it difficult to actually find a way to work out a modification of that loan.
So tell me about this bill you started working on earlier this year aimed at foreclosure mediation and what this would do.
So I opened a bill file for foreclosure mediation to model it after a program that several other states have done, including Nevada, Connecticut, and others have instituted a process of foreclosure mediation. Mm-hmm. What that says is that before a lender can foreclose on a loan, they've got to sit down with the borrower and seek to work out a modification to the loan. Many times that won't happen, that the borrower is just so much underwater on the loan or doesn't have the income to pay a loan. But there are cases where a borrower may not be able to pay the loan pursuant to the current terms, but with a slight modification to the interest rate or some forgiveness of past due amounts, may be able to continue to make payments on a modified schedule to the loan and stay in their home. And it would be my hope that those circumstances would work out not only to the benefit of the borrower or the person occupying the home, but also would be in the financial interest of the lender. And I think if we as government can facilitate that conversation between the lender and the borrower such that they can come together and find out something that really is in both of their best interests, we can stave off some of the impacts and shocks to our economy at a macro level.
When you first started talking about this concept, did you get any reaction from the various industries or other lawmakers yet?
Certainly. There are people who are concerned that foreclosure mediation does nothing but slow down the pain that is inevitable. Mm. And I think if not done correctly, that could be the case, that rather than just allowing our economy to churn through these foreclosures, we force it through a bureaucratic process that just makes it prolonged. I would hope that hope that we could do this in a way that, you know, there are a certain number of foreclosures that happen that don't need to happen, that it's not the best thing for the bank, it's not the best thing for the borrower, and if they could just sit down and work it out, they could find some terms that work for both of them. That's not happening currently because when you're trying to encourage a dialogue between 7 different lenders in Germany and Switzerland and New York and all over the place, many of whom don't even know that they hold these mortgages and the borrower can't find the person to work out their issues with, that conversation isn't happening. You know, you think 20 years ago when you'd go and take out a mortgage, you took it out from the bank on the corner who then serviced your loan for the 30 years that you held the mortgage. And so if
right.
there were something that came up, an unemployment situation or other need that arose that you weren't able to meet your obligations on the mortgage, you could go down and sit down with the loan officer and maybe work out some modification, a skipped payment or a modified interest rate that could keep you in your home but also respect the financial obligations of the person who lent you the money. Today, many times in many loans, you don't know who that person is. There's no, you can't pick up the phone and call that person because these mortgages have been collateralized and sliced and diced and resold on Wall Street.
Often when it comes to foreclosure assistance, helping out people who are facing foreclosure, you hear people argue, we shouldn't do anything that could be perceived as a bailout for people who took out a loan they couldn't afford. That's a common argument, I think. Is that one that you expect to have to overcome here?
Certainly, that's an argument that I have to overcome. There are people who have made unwise financial decisions, and there are certainly consequences for those mistakes. In those cases, though, where we can help those people who have made misjudgments or overly optimistic promises, and the consequences of their misjudgment is going to hurt me and is going to hurt our Utah economy, there's no reason to inflict pain on myself where we can, if we could work out a compromise that's in their interest and also in the interest of our community as a whole. The other thing I think, Jeff, to realize here, there seems to be a pervasive mentality that people are unemployed today because they're lazy or they are losing their homes because they are greedy and bought too much. We need to recognize that there are macroeconomic issues here. People may not be able to make the payments on their mortgage because we have the highest unemployment we've had in several generations. And they didn't foresee when they took out their mortgage that they were going to be unemployed for several years because there aren't jobs out there for them to work. And in those situations, I think because of the tough circumstances we're facing, some type of extraordinary solution is warranted.
We've been speaking with State Senator Ben McAdams. Senator, we appreciate your time.
Thank you.